Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Guys, I'm welcoming you to a show that's for you and it's about you. Those of you who work so freaking hard for your money, and you're ready for your money to start working harder for you now. You want that freedom, that cash flow, that prosperity today, not 30 or 40 years from now, but right now, so you can live that life that you love with those you love doing what you love. But guys, it's so much more than that, because on top of your own financial freedom, it's about creating a life of legacy, of meaning, and purpose. It's about really creating that ripple effect through people's lives. And guys, I'm so appreciative that you allow me to do that through you. Appreciate all the time and binging you guys have been doing on these episodes and sharing and everything else. So thank you so much. As a reminder, check our website, moneyripples.com. There's that great ebook, Beyond Rice and Beans, 7 Secrets to Free Up Cash Today. You can learn ways to find and free up cash now. So check it out.
Hey, are you looking for another great podcast to listen to? One about investing and not only just investing, but learning about cool deals like investing in apartments that does not require you to have to be an accredited investor or have $1 million. Hey, if you want to check that out, go check out my friend Lane Kawaoka's site, simplepassivecashflow.com. He's got a great podcast also called Simple Passive Cashflow that you can check out on YouTube, iTunes, or whatever your favorite podcast app is. If you want some great education and to learn about great ways to invest in other types of deals without, again, needing a ton of money, check it out, simplepassivecashflow.com, or look up Simple Passive Cashflow on YouTube or your podcast app. Check it out.
All right, guys. So it's my special privilege to bring on a guest here that I've been trying to get on this show for probably a good year. Fortunately, the stars have aligned. We're able to get him on our show. But I know if you've listened to this podcast enough, I've dropped his name probably just as much as a guy like Robert Kiyosaki even, right? I mean, I've dropped his name several times. If you've heard of the book Profit First, he's the best-selling author of the book Profit First. If you've heard of the Pumpkin Plan, which I've referenced many times, right? Even just today, I was finishing up Clockwork, you know, that he's written. Mm-hmm. And coming up now, we've got the book Fix This Next that's coming out as well. So Mike, without further ado, welcome to our show.
Chris, it's a joy to be here. And you'll see behind me, I was just filming something we had to do internally. It says Mike's Likes. Totally not associated with Fix This Next, but you can see how it's positioned below strategically.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, there it is. Well, hey, man, welcome to your show. I mean, I know some people have already been feasting on your books and things like that, but for those that don't know your story, tell us a little bit about your background and how you came to be Mike.
Sure. Well, I became Mike, I think it was my parents, honestly. But how I became in this space was, I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. I actually couldn't even get a good job out of college, not the one I wanted. And that sparked this desire, like, well, I'll create my own business. Admittedly, while I had some outward success, sales were growing and so forth, inwardly, the struggles were greater and greater. I was selling, but not profitably. I was, right. You know, had a business that was performing and delivering results, but it was all me doing the work. I was exhausted. Well, I finally had this defining moment. My third business I started was as an angel investor, and I had no idea what I was doing. I wiped myself out financially. It became a turning moment for me. I realized that I really didn't understand the essence of what makes the entrepreneurial game successful. It's more than just mastering profit. That's key. It's mastering efficiency. It's removing yourself from the business, having the business serve a greater purpose or legacy. And what I did is, as I was realizing this, I started documenting it. Unknowingly, I started pursuing what is my life's passion, which is being an author for small business. I just started writing stuff for myself to figure out the formulas of success. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got some books going here. I got to pursue this. And so for the last 12 or 13 years now, maybe 14, I've been a full-time author for small business. I actually own 3 companies now, but I'm a shareholder in the businesses. I own them. I started them. I don't run them. I write, I research, I try to find ways to simplify entrepreneurship.
You're in your queen bee role now, right?
That's my queen. Yeah, nice. That's a Clockwork reference. Yeah.
Yep. You're in your
queen bee. And thanks for bringing it up. So a queen bee role, for anyone listening in that doesn't know, this is one of the kind of defining elements. I was looking at what makes a business run effectively, with these businesses that just can churn out results how they do it. And what they identify is this thing I call the QBR, or the queen bee role. And basically, like a beehive, the queen bee, while an important bee, is not the most important bee, she's replaceable. But the role she serves of producing eggs is critical. If the queen bee fails to produce eggs, they spawn a new queen bee. But every bee knows we must be producing eggs for the survivability, the thrivability of the hive. Well, in our business, you know, what is the production of eggs? What's the one thing that is so critical that if it fails, our business collapses, but if it's successful, we continue on? Yeah. And that's the QBR. For my own organization, there's 14 of us now collectively in this company. It's the production of quality content through books that has to be performed. And that's my primary function still inside this business. I actually have co-writers and people that help me to produce the content. But we know the second I start putting out like crappy books, the whole thing comes crumbling down. Right. If I keep on producing books that hopefully consumers think extraordinarily well and are perceived as excellent books, everything else will fall in alignment. I don't have to be an extraordinary public speaker. I don't have to be on the hot app of the day, like Clubhouse or something. I just got to produce extraordinary books. That's my QBR.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's great. I know a lot of business owners that are listening to this right now. Maybe they went in like I did, right? You became an entrepreneur because you wanted control of your freedom, your time, and your money. And you basically wanted to create your own destiny.
Yes.
And then you get into the business, and you realize you just created your own freaking job, right? And yes. You just created something that just trapped you in. And it could be a high-paying job. It could be a great job. And I know guys are multimillionaires right now with great businesses. But then, you know, when they get a little time to relax, they're getting drunk off their butts. They can't even walk the next day because they're just stress relief. They don't have freedom. They don't have a life.
Yeah.
And that's key, what you talk about.
Yeah, I think that the two reasons we go into business, the two primary reasons, is personal freedom and financial freedom. Personal freedom is defined by do what you want when you want. And Financial freedom is never to worry about paying bills, to have the free ability to do whatever presents itself. Sadly, most entrepreneurs achieve neither. So there was a study conducted by US Bank, identified that 83% of small businesses, and a small business is defined by a company that's $25 million in annual revenue or less, that 83% are surviving check by check, which means, like, you know, we expected this extraordinary success, but we have extraordinary struggle. I call that gap entrepreneurial poverty. And it's my mission to fix that. What I found when it comes to fixing that, and that's my most recent book, Fix This Next, is that there's a chain of events, not necessarily the sequence of work you go through, but there's a chain of elements, perhaps is a better choice of words, that a business must have in place in order to get those outcomes we want, or we can do what we want when we want, and then where the business doesn't depend on us. How I illustrate in the book is, it's kind of like a chain between me and you, Chris. If you and I had a chain between us and we're trying to make it stronger, the mistake would be to fix every link, to say, you know what, we're gonna strengthen every link and I'll make the chain stronger. It would use extraordinary effort and it may not strengthen the chain until we get to the weakest link. Because a chain, no matter what you do with it, it'll always break at the weakest link. So you can strengthen every chain link, it'll still snap until it's the weakest. Well, in our business, you often hear this, that the owner says, I'm doing everything, but nothing's working. Uh-huh. It's because they're fixing all the links. So the key is, if you want to strengthen the chain, identify what the weakest link is, only fix that, strengthen that, and the entire strength of the chain now has been elevated to the next weakest link. You find that, you strengthen that, and the whole thing elevates again. So the sequence of how we fix things matters very much. In our business, identified in the book, there's 25 core needs, roughly the DNA of all business. That's the same. I don't care if you're a pizza shop or a real estate agent or a lawyer. It doesn't matter what you do. There's this core element that every business needs. And what we need to first do is identify of this chain in our business, what's the weakest link? Once we identify it, resolve it. It is a far more efficient and far more effective method than just trying to fix everything.
That's true. And we get a lot, especially in that business owner mentality, where you can be ADD sometimes, right? You're almost too visionary and you're trying to put out fires with a sprinkler hose, a garden sprinkler, right? Versus trying to get a fire hose on just one spot, fix that weakest one, and then move to the next, just pure focus.
There's a saying that entrepreneurs have the propensity to address the urgent to the direct neglect of the important. And I want to make a little tweak to that. It's true, but I would say we don't even go for the urgent. We go for the apparent. And there's a subtle difference here. The next issue that presents itself, we decide to put urgency on it. So we can go into our email right now and see, you know, 100 different things have come in and demands put upon us. We look at it and say, I got to do this one now. So it's not really urgent. We're defining it as urgent because we selected it. We go for the apparent. It's just another arbitrary link. So what I encourage entrepreneurs to do is to take pause, evaluate where they are. In the book, I identify there's 5 levels of needs a business has. Foundationally, every business needs sales. Sales creates cash flow for a business. Yeah. But already this level, without understanding how they link together, many entrepreneurs get confused. Many entrepreneurs think we can sell our way out of everything. Sales cures everything. And that's total bullshit. It does not. Yeah. Sales is necessary to create cash, but at a certain point, it causes stress. Like the more you sell, the more your business now has an obligation to deliver on those sales. So the more burden you're putting on your company. If you don't have the other elements in place, like efficiency, a method to extract profit, the more you sell, the more tenuous your situation is. So first we have to make sure sales are in place. But once sales are in place, do we have a profit system, a way to consistently extract profit? That gives a company stability, runway. You live a lot more comfortable life. I've had businesses that were check to check. It was constant stress. I've had businesses that have been very profitable, and I'm very blessed to be operating in that scenario now. It is far less stressful. In fact, it's almost stress-free. The next level above profit is order and efficiency. This is where we extract ourselves from the business, where the business doesn't need us. I've been implementing this in my own business. And so on the day-to-day now, my business doesn't need me. In fact, I just returned from a 4-week vacation. I talked about that in Clockwork, where I just took off. The nice thing is when you own a business, you also have a right to insert yourself in a joyous way. I love to write books. I love being a spokesperson too. So those two elements I keep doing, but the rest, my team has been empowered and elevated to do it. Once we have order, the next level above that's impact. It's serving clients at a higher level beyond transactions. It's transformational service. The highest level is called legacy. This is where a business is designed to live on generationally. The thing is, a lot of entrepreneurs say, I want to have a legacy. I want to do all these things. Until you get the foundation nailed down, until sales are adequate to support profit, until profit's sufficient to support that, those efficiencies, we can't skip levels. Yeah. And like a chain, once you get to a higher level, you may have to go back down to a base link, strengthening even more in order to support the higher levels above it.
Awesome. That's great. So how does somebody even decide which one to go with first? You know, I mean, that's the tough part, right? Because
that's the tough part.
We can see everything.
Yeah. So what you do is you always start at the base. It's a translation from Maslow's hierarchy of needs. So Maslow studied human needs and said at the base of human needs, we need physiological needs satisfied first. We need to breathe air, drink water, stuff like that. Once that's satisfied, we can go to higher level needs like self-actualization is the highest level need where someone's living into their life's purpose. But I'll tell you, right now, someone listening in, they could be experiencing many forms of self-actualization, realizing how they can improve their lives to lean into their identity. But if you're eating a hamburger and you start choking, you will automatically revert to the base and try to dislodge that because you're going to die. Our physical needs are the most important. In our business, we do the same thing. If you don't have adequate sales to support profit, all that matters is getting the right sales in. But again, that's why I have this important reminder, more sales alone is not adequate. We simply need adequate sales to support profit. If you have sales right now and no profit, you actually have a profit problem. How do we extract profit from our existing sales? Once that's in place, then we go up to the next level. So always go to the base and say, is it adequate to support the level above it? Kind of like building a structure. Is the basement big enough to support that first floor? If so, is the first floor big enough to support the second floor? You don't start at the fifth floor because it'll collapse in thin air. And you don't make a foundation the size of, a basement to support a skyscraper and put a tool shed above it. They work relationally, always start at the base and work your way up.
Yeah. It reminds me of back in 2015, I went through a life event, divorce and everything else. And it got me to question if I even wanted to be in business anymore. Right. And I remember I got your book right at that time, Pumpkin Plan, and I'm all about focus. Like I'm more of a marathon runner. So I'm not kind of in different directions. I just like to go steady, and just stay as she goes. Right. And when that one hit, it just struck a chord. I'm like, oh my gosh, like what is that Pareto's principle within my business? And even then, what's the Pareto of the Pareto? What's that?
Yes.
The top 20 of the top 20, right? And that's why I started going more my podcast route. I started going away from live speaking and networking at 500 different networking groups and all that stuff. And crazy thing is that my revenue doubled the next year while my profit quintupled, right? And that for me, I was like, oh, that was my problem. I was being busy, but I wasn't really being productive or efficient. And once I got those efficiencies in line, that allowed my business. And actually, by the way, I cut my time in a third. So I went from 60 hours a week down to 10 hours a week, really, about 10 to 20. But then now my business has now done over 900% growth since then. Now I'm making a month what I made in a year in 2015, right?
And I love it. It reminds me of the difference between a specialist and a general practitioner. If you talk about doctors, a GP, you know, he's arriving at work at 6 a.m, working at 6 o'clock at night. He's constantly has to get trained on new things. You know, how do you diagnose COVID? That wasn't relevant 3 years ago, right. 2 years ago. You got to know now. But the specialist, you know, say the brain surgeon, all she does is one brain surgery every couple of days, you know? Mm-hmm. But the difference in pay, the GP is lucky to scratch out the $25 copay. The brain surgeon, they can charge $25,000 or $250,000. It doesn't matter because our life is on the line. Now, the point is that, back to the Pareto principle, in any market, there is a certain portion of the consumer base who sees us as a commodity. That's actually the majority. It's like, you know, I just need that. I got a little headache going on. Just give me aspirin. But there's 20% who say, this is life-threatening. And listen, you could be a web developer, and I would say 80% of your prospective customers will say, I just need a glorified brochure. 20% will say, this is my main source of lead generation. It needs to be extraordinary. The people who see you as life-saving will pay an extraordinary premium for that service. And you'll have to spend way less time, like the brain surgeon, just do it occasionally as opposed to all the time. The thing is, to be the brain surgeon, you got to be a deep dive specialist into that category. So I'm not surprised. The more you leaned into podcasting or certain elements and got out of all that general area, that all of a sudden your prices started going up. You're getting more demand because you're a life-saving business now.
Yeah. Mike, this is awesome, man. Like, such good nuggets here. Any final words of advice you'd say with everything? I mean, we got entrepreneurs, we got people of all mixes, but what's your final advice? Like, what would be your big message to them?
I think the biggest thing is I have found, at least for myself, I'll show you on my wall here. It's kind of hidden away behind the light. Those words that are kind of cut off by light says eradicate entrepreneurial poverty. I would argue that the biggest determinant of entrepreneurial success is not the get rich quick hot thing of the day. It's what you're doing, is going the marathon. And I found that having a clear purpose, sometimes trauma like you experienced, actually is the best thing we can have, because it says, from that moment on, I'm never going to live this way again, or I have something I have to permanently fix. When I lost all my money, I said, I will never live this way again. I need to fix this. Not just for me, I need to fix it for everybody. And when I write books, honestly, I'm writing them for myself to learn. I'm writing them to share so people don't have to experience that trauma again. What is your purpose? I invite everyone listening in right now, just ask yourself, what is my purpose? Have the business be a vehicle to serve that, and then you become relentless. No one can stop you.
That's awesome, man. And you know what? And you've done that for me. You know, whether you knew it or not, you did that for my life. And my life is drastically different, all because of some of the same works and stuff you've been talking about in this very episode right here.
I love that. Thanks for saying that, Chris.
Absolutely, man. So I know you've got a special little gift for our listeners here. We got a little web link that we have in the show notes here. Can you tell us just a bit about that?
Yeah. So with Fix This Next, what we set up is a way to evaluate your business. Mm-hmm. And it takes about 5 minutes to pinpoint what your business needs from you. So I talked about the five levels, but within each level, there's what's called a core need, and there's five at each level. So there's 25 different common needs in the DNA of business. The question is, where's your weakest link? What needs to be fixed? So you can go to fixthisnext.com. There's a button there that says, take the free evaluation. We set it up to be totally free. No downloads or anything. It's just, it'll present the answer on the screen. But spend the 5 minutes there to answer questions, are all yes, no. It will evaluate your business and it'll tell you, here's what you need to fix next. Concentrate your energy there, resolve it. And now you've strengthened your entire business.
Awesome. Man, that's exciting. That's good stuff. So we'll put that in the show notes there and for everybody to use and leverage. And again, Mike, so grateful for your time today. I really, really appreciate you being on today.
It's been a joy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, everybody else, just like everything in this show, it's not about being a hero of the word. It's about being a doer as well. It's about taking action and making this change. Same thing that happened with me. If I would have just listened to his books and done nothing, my life would be drastically different. You probably wouldn't even be listening to me right now, to be honest, right? So the fact is, get out there, go to the link there like we have in the show notes, And guys, you know, make your life prosperous by going and doing the things that we talk about here. Practice what we preach. Guys, make it a wonderful and prosperous week. We'll see you later. Yes.
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.